And so today, the talk is the third in a series that is based on the book that we're doing a class on right now, which is called The Answer Is You by Dr. Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith. And so if you're reading along, today we are looking at chapter 4, and it is about embodying true abundance. And so what does abundance mean? Is abundance about having a lot of stuff? Have you ever seen hoarders? You know, those people certainly have a lot of stuff, and that certainly isn't the kind of abundance that I want to be living. Does it mean having a lot of money? Because I certainly see people out in the world, too, who have a lot of money. In fact, I see people who are millionaires that are still seeking to get yet more and yet more and yet more money. I used to watch that show Shark Tank. I don't know if you've ever watched it. People go on and have ideas, things that they would like to market, and they're looking for someone to help sponsor them getting started. And one of the guys, they call him Mr. Wonderful, he said one day on there, the person was talking about how great this product was going to be or what it was going to do. He goes, I don't care. It's all I care about is money. And I see that, and I think to myself, how much is enough? But what that says to me then is that abundance isn't only an external situation or circumstance, but to be abundant or to be prosperous is also an internal experience. And so to feel abundant or to feel prosperous to me then means to feel like we have enough, to feel like we are living in the experience of plenty and of having our needs met. It's about being prosperous is to know that we have enough to do what it is that we feel called to do and want to do, that we can rest in that. It's about having a sense of peace and ease around our finances and around all the things in our life. That means then it's not living in the experience of want or the experience of lack or the experience of not enough. But instead, it's about having comfort and a sense of well-being that our needs will be met. And it's at the deepest level, I think, it's having a really deep sense of being safe and secure in our life. And so to be prosperous or to be abundant isn't only about money, though. To be prosperous or abundant also means to have an abundance of friends, an abundance of love, an abundance of opportunities to express our own creativity and to bring our own gifts to the world. It's about having opportunities, and it's about an abundance of health and an abundance of joy, an abundance of peace. All of those things are the foundation and create what I'm talking about when I talk about abundance today. Abundance to me is really about having whatever it is, enough of whatever it is for you to feel like you are living a full and rich life. And the truth is, you live in an abundant, infinitely abundant universe. You live in a presence and power that is boundless. That is boundless in its creativity, boundless in its wisdom, boundless in its good, and that presence is always right at the center of your being. That wellspring of creativity, that wellspring of wisdom and peace and well-being is always right at the center of your being. And that infinite wellspring of good that is without limit is at the center of your life. All the time. The problem is, though, we forget. We forget that that infinite presence is at the center of our life. We forget that it is the source of all of our good. We forget that that wellspring lives right within us. And when we forget, what happens is we think that our good, all of our good, is reliant on that outside world. That our good is reliant on our job, or on our spouse, or on our where we live, or what we do. We get caught up in all sorts of things thinking what our good is reliant upon, our investments, what we've saved in the bank, all those things. And when we forget, we get into worry, and we get into doubt, and we get into fear that we won't have what we need. And then if we don't have what we need, we might not be okay. And then we get scared. And then when we get scared, we start making up stories and we start telling ourselves stories. Oh my gosh, what if I'm not going to have enough saved to retire when I want to retire? Or, oh my gosh, what if I lose my job and can't get another job? What am I going to do then? Or what if my spouse leaves me or dies? That's my source of income. What am I going to do that now? We make up all these stories. What if Social Security isn't around anymore when I retire? We get scared and we start spinning out. And if abundance isn't just about money, we do that same thing about the other areas of abundance in our life, an abundance of love. We think that if, oh my gosh, what if I never find the right partner to be in a relationship with? What if I never have another relationship? Or what if I say something offensive and my friends decide they don't like me anymore? Whatever we make up these stories when we think that that good's reliant on the outside world. We also get into self-doubt and into comparisons and into competition with other people. And that competition and self-doubt keeps us from doing the things that create and make for that most fulfilling life. We think things like, what if I'm not smart enough to go back and get that degree that I really want to do? What if I'm not smart enough to write that book that's living inside of me that I feel like I want to write? What if I'm not creative enough to go take that poetry class? Or if I'm not creative enough just to write poetry? What if I'm not outgoing enough to join that social group or to go on that group camping trip or group hike or whatever? What if I'm not outgoing enough? What we don't remember in those moments is those heartfelt desires to be and to do are the universe desiring through us. That's how the universe unfolds itself. And so if we have that desire already in our heart, that means the infinite unfolding through us knows how to do it and has everything that we need in order to do that thing that's calling to our hearts and souls. But we stop ourselves by those stories. Have you ever seen a water pipe in an old house? How they get all this calcification and stuff built up on the inside of them, and pretty soon there's just this little tiny hole that the water has to flow through? That's what our doubts and our fears and our worries do. They build up in that pipe so the good can't flow into our lives and flow through us. We block that flow just like that calcification in that pipe by our fears and worries and doubts. But what that all comes down to really is that we've forgotten who we are. We have forgotten what we are. We have forgotten that we are expressions of the infinite life of the divine. That we are expressions of the infinite good of this universe. You have forgotten that you are an expression of the infinite. You have forgotten that it is right where you are, closer than breath. You have forgotten that you are living the life of the divine, that your life is life with a capital L, the only life that there is. You have forgotten that that source of creativity or of ideas or of wisdom lives inside of you. That's the wisdom that leads you to the perfect job. That's the wisdom that leads you to the perfect investment. That's the wisdom that tells you where to invest your money or what to do. God isn't a big Santa Claus that delivers money falling out of the sky. God is the source of the creativity inside of us so that we go and we express ourselves as the job that we're doing or the wisdom that leads us to that perfect investment. God is the source that takes us to that financial abundance in this life and that takes us to the abundance of every sort of abundance. God is the love inside of you that draws friends and loved ones and relationships to you. The divine is the source of all of the good in our lives. Your job and your investment and your bank account is not the source of your good. It is a resource in this world. The source is the infinite within you and at the center of your life. Ernest Holmes says, "The Spirit has not withheld good from us, but ignorance of the true law of supply has caused us to have fear." Ignorance of the law of supply, that there is an infinite supply ever flowing towards us, that the nature of life is to unfold itself as abundance and as good. Our fear, we get into fear because we've forgotten that. So what we really want at the deepest level is to have confidence. What we want at the deepest level is to trust. What we want at the deepest level is to feel peaceful. The millionaire who doesn't feel peaceful and still needs more, we want that inner experience of safety and security and confidence and well-being. And so there's a Buddhist fable that I'd love to share with you. And it goes like this. A Buddhist monk was walking barefoot down a dusty road when he stepped on something sharp. It stuck in his heel, so after a few steps, he stopped and pulled it out. Lo and behold, it was a very beautifully carved and very valuable gemstone. The monk rinsed it off at the well that he was passing and tossed it into his satchel, along with the partial loaf of bread that was to be his one meal for the day. A little further down the road, the monk happened upon a beggar. The beggar spied the partial loaf of bread, leapt in front of the monk, bowed three times, and said, "O venerable sir, I am but a poor, starving beggar. Might I have a taste of your bread?" Whereupon the monk pulled the loaf from his satchel, and before handing it to the beggar, pulled the gem from the crust where it had become embedded. He handed the entire loaf to the beggar. The beggar saw the gemstone and pleaded, "O most worthy one, I have taken your only meal of the day, and this is not right. I see you have a gemstone which would relieve me of my situation. May I give you back your bread in exchange for the gem?" At this, the monk promptly gave the gemstone to the beggar, telling him to also keep the bread. The beggar was ecstatic and galloped off down the road. The monk was noticing that it was time for meditation, so he sat down under a nearby tree. A few minutes later, he became aware of the presence of someone, and opening his eyes, he saw the beggar, who thrust out his hand with the gem, saying, "O venerable one, may I please return the gem to you? I don't want it." The monk asked, "What, sir, do you want?" The beggar replied, "I want what you have that has allowed you to give away everything." That's what we really want, is that sense of connection with the infinite, and with it, the confidence and the faith and the well-being and the peace and the recognition of the abundant life that we are living. That's what we're really seeking. And so if you are experiencing lack, or if you are experiencing fear of lack, the first place to start is to remember that the nature of life, the nature of the infinite, is to unfold itself. That is what it does. And that presence is infinite. That presence is the good itself. Unformed good that comes forward as food and gemstones and whatever it is that you're desiring in your life. The place to start is to remembering that your life is that life of the divine. Therefore, it is unfolding itself as your life and in your life everywhere that you are. As opulence, as magnificence, as health and well-being, as financial abundance, as love and friends and opportunities and wisdom and anything that it is that you are seeking to experience in your life. And so in this book that we're doing, The Answer Is You, Michael Beckwith invites us to trust in the givingness of life. Trust that that's the nature of life. And so he gives us two tools in this chapter that I'm going to share with you as a way to increase our abundance in our life. And the first one is gratitude. That means having gratitude for all that we have in our lives. Gratitude for love and gratitude for our health and for our home and for our friends and for the opportunities that we have. Gratitude for the large things and the small things, but to be in gratitude around all of it, to recognize and express that gratitude, to feel that gratitude. Gratitude for the beauty that is all around us on this planet Earth, for the flowers and the trees and the birds and the stars. Gratitude for laughter, gratitude for caring people that we have in our lives, gratitude for the people that make our lives so much easier, like the people that fix the roads or the people that pick up our trash. Do you know what life would be like if no one picked up our trash? Gratitude for the delivery person at Amazon.com that just brought the fabulous thing that you wanted. Gratitude to the electric company for giving you electricity all month long that let you have lights on at night and run air conditioning. So what if, this is just a little side note, what if when you paid your bills, like your electric bill, you centered yourself first in gratitude? How grateful you are that they gave you electricity for an entire month that you didn't even have to pay for. And now you're giving them back your gratitude and your energy in the form of this payment. Or when you pay your Visa bill, all those things that you got to go and do and have and eat and all those things, you got to do those for free. And now in your gratitude and with your energy, you're giving back and creating this cycle and this circle that's going on. Michael Beckwith also suggests that when we tell ourselves, I am spending money, that what happens is if you spend money, you can actually run out. Like that term, I've become spent. There's nothing left. But if instead you are circulating money, then it's never ending. I'm circulating this abundance. I'm circulating this good. Circulating this energy. Money is just a form of energy that is recognition that I've gotten something, so I'm giving something back. Just like when your clients recognize the service that you've done and then you get that something that it comes in the form of money. But it's all just energy. And then so back to the gratitude part. That was just the side note. And what if you were grateful for all those things and grateful for the person that makes your coffee at Starbucks? And so I was reading a blog this week. Of course, I'm reading all sorts of things about gratitude because that's what I'm talking about. And there was a one whole website that was all about acts of gratitude. And one of them was a woman who wrote a thank you note or card to the person that makes her coffee. And I'm going to read it to you. Dear latte lady, those hearts you make in my latte foam, I know it's a little thing, but getting lattes is an extra special, only sometimes treat for me. And those wispy hearts make it even nicer. I know you're on your feet all day. I know you go home reeking so much of coffee that you probably don't even like it anymore. And I know people get crabby at you and snap at you when you mess up their order. And I know you are a kind soul. And most important, you are you. The only you there is, and that means something, even though I totally don't know your name. Love, the girl in the corner with the laptop. And so who are you grateful for in your life? What small service, what things on a continuous basis are you grateful for? Your neighbor that brings in your trash can? The waitress that waits on you at the table? So many things. And so you may have noticed there's actually a card in your bulletin. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a few minutes to actually write a card to someone right now that you are grateful to that you can give that card to. And so if you don't have a pen, Barbara will give you a pen. Or Colleen will give you a pen. Someone's walking around with pens. So I'm going to give you 3 minutes to do that. thank you note to anyone that you feel grateful for. And so if you haven't yet finished your card, I invite you to finish that after the service today. And so what happens is any time that we are in gratitude for anything, we are recognizing that we have. I have this thing. And as I talked about last week, it increases our experience of it when we recognize that we have it. And so when we know that we have something, when we're in gratitude for it, that subconscious I have actually is read as plenty. I'm experiencing plenty. And when we think and recognize that we are in plenty, then that law of correspondence says, okay, plenty. I will give you more of plenty. That's one of the ways that we open ourselves and that we draw more good to us by being in gratitude. And so Meister Eckhart, who was a 14th century mystic, said, if the only prayer you say in your whole life is thank you, that would suffice. Because when we're in gratitude, we put ourselves back in that flow of good. And so the second tool that Beckwith shares with us in this book is about generosity. Because when we share anything from a place of generosity, whether it's a gift or a talent or our time or our energy or our kindness or our money or our attention, whatever it is, that generosity opens our hearts and opens our hands, and then we are in this posture of openness so that more good can flow into our lives. Life mirrors back to us who we are. And when we're in that generous stance, it mirrors back to us flow and opulence and even more good. And so Eric Butterworth, who is one of my favorite writers on abundance, says, "True giving is not something you do to or for someone, but it is your consent to let the flow of God through you to someone." In our giving, and especially generosity, you know what you feel like when you're generous. Your heart gets opened up. In that generosity and openness, we increase that flow in our lives. And so I look at myself and how I am now compared to when I started this spiritual path. I am so much more generous than I used to be. And it feels so good. And I am so much more open-hearted. And I think part of that is due to this realization that I have from the spiritual path about our interconnectedness with everyone and everything, that we are part of this one human family. So what I do to you, I also do to myself. I think it's also born out of a recognition of my own wholeness, that nothing can be taken from me. I am whole all the time. And I think out of that connection and that wholeness, there is this reciprocity and there is this love and this connection and a generosity that is just a natural byproduct. And in class this week, I asked people if they feel more generous than they did when they started this path, and everybody said yes. Something just happens and it feels so good. But that generosity enables us to live that more abundant life on the outside and on the inside. I know that I share compliments with people on a regular basis when I see someone who's just wearing something that is attractive or they've done something nice. Or I give people compliments all the time. And I know that I'm grateful when I go to a restaurant and I will tell the waitress or waiter how grateful I am for their service and thank you for taking care of us and what a great job you've done. And I have numerous times asked to speak to the manager and told the manager in a restaurant what a great job that employee has done. And I know in class, Carolyn Tate said she actually, on her ticket, writes on that ticket, "Thank you so much for taking me care of me today. You were so wonderful," or whatever it is that's in her heart to write. That's that generosity that I'm talking about. And so when we are generous like that, it increases our experience of the good in our life. When I am generous like that, it increases my experience of the good, and I am living this incredibly abundant life. I have an abundance of love and an abundance of friends and an abundance of money and an abundance of fun and an abundance of joy. I have abundance all over the place when I look at my life, and it's wonderful. And so my invitation to you this week then is to trust in the givingness of life. To remember that the nature of life, life with a capital L, the nature of life is to unfold itself. That's its nature. That's what it does. It unfolds and unfolds and unfolds. To remember that the fullness of the presence of the divine is always right where you are. It's all around you and it's inside of you. That opulence of the universe, that power and that source of good is always right where you are. Remember that there is no separation between you and it. It lives in you. It's the thing that beats your heart and breathes your lungs. It's the thing that acts as inspiration and as dreams and as of calling you what it is that you're here to do in the world. Remember that it unfolds itself through your life. And gratitude is an opening for it. And generosity is an opening for that flow. And so practice gratitude. Start a gratitude journal. Or just tell people how grateful you are to them when you see them in your life. Or write cards to the people that you're grateful for. For those of you who are here that know Barbara Zunich, who is part of this church, who has moved to Arizona, she is in the middle right now of writing a thank you card every single day for the entire year. Oh, wow. Practice practice your gratitude in any way that feels wonderful to you, because that's what happens when we practice gratitude. And practice generosity. Share a smile. Share a compliment. Share a gratitude with someone for what they've done for you. Lend a hand. Give someone your support, your emotional support. Lend an ear. Be present for someone. Give what gifts and talents you have in generosity. You will be the one that gets filled back up. Give your encouragement, and yes, give your money. That energy supports everything else in the world that you feel good about and that you want to support. So those organizations that are in alignment with your principles and your values, share your energetic of money with them. And when you are living in that state of generosity and that state of gratitude, you will be placing yourself directly in that flow. And you will be experiencing greater abundance outside of you and inside of you. Living a life that feels rich and full and satisfying and on purpose. And so blessings to each and every one of you on this path of spiritual awakening and of giving way to your own spirit and of recognizing this amazing universe, this amazing infinite presence that we're living in. Blessings to each and every single one of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. How good it is just to return once again to this presence that is right here, to turn my attention to that infinite one. How good it is to turn within and just recognize, yes, that one is right here where I am. Where I sit, where I stand, in all that I do, that I walk in this presence and I walk with this presence. That presence fills my beingness, for it is one and the same as the very essence of who I am. It is one and the same as the very essence of who each and every single one of us is. That we are each incarnations of magnificence itself. We are each and every one of us incarnations of love and of peace and of beauty and of good. That our life is the outpicturing of all of this grace, all of this good. That this life that we're living is the divine unfolding itself as our life. As all that we do, as all that we give, as our own creativity and our creative expression in this world, the love that we share, the dreams that we have, it is all the activity of this one presence of creativity and of joy unfolding here as us. And so today I recognize that that one is indeed downloading itself within us right now as inspiration. And as creativity and as opportunities in our life and as health and wholeness and order in our bodies, it is unfolding itself as an opulent good of every sort, financial and friends and peace and awareness, everything that we could desire, for that one is pouring itself out even now. And so today we walk in this awareness and we walk in this openness. We walk in gratitude and with generous and open hearts and hands, being in this flow. How grateful I am for this life of the infinite that we are living. And so it is with a grateful heart that I release this presence into that infinite law of being. The law of mind, that as I speak it and as I claim it, it becomes my experience. And so we wholeheartedly say yes to this. And what an opulent life we are living. And so I release this prayer and I let it be and I say, and so it is.